If you want to get your Bibles out, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 18 through 20 together. This is what the word of the Lord says. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Listen, today is an awesome, awesome day. In fact, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. We call it Life Point Shuffle. If you have we'll do it the scooch today. If you can slide over a little bit, leave some room at the edge. We still have folks coming in looking for a spot. That would be a big help. We've got a couple of seats down here up front, guys, just so that you'll know. If you can see there also. We're starting a brand new series, or we did last week, called Find Life, Live Sent. And we believe that finding real life in Christ only comes when we surrender and submit our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That we come, we bow the knee to Him and say, "Jesus, we ask you to forgive us. We accept you to be our Savior and Lord. We want to follow you from this day forward. Everything that we've placed our faith in previously, we now turn from that and we turn to you and you alone." Jesus said that He is the way, He's the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Him. He also said in John 10 that the thief, who is the evil one, Satan, that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that Jesus said that He came, that we might have life and have abundant life. So abundant life is only found in Christ. There are tons of things out there that are trying to draw our attention, saying, if you come to this, if you do this, then you're going to have real life. You're going to have meaning. You're going to have power. You're going to have success. I need you to know that abundant life, real true life, is only found in Christ. And so we've begun a series talking about find life and live sent. You hear us talk about living sent and finding life here all the time. So what do we mean by that? Well, last week we opened up the series. If you weren't here, I'd love for you to go back. You can watch it online on any of our media platforms. You can see that. But we began with the letter G, talking about gathering together corporately, gathering together in small groups, but gathering with one another, making sure that, as believers, we come together. Following Christ is not an individual sport. It's a corporate sport. It's something we do together. So even in here, when we gather together and we see Adam, who now has surrendered his life to Christ, he's walked through that. We were cheering. We were bringing excitement. This is life-giving. That's something we do together. I'm thankful that we have our online platform where people can participate and worship with us when they're not able to be here. We have people right now who are able to do that. But even they will tell you that's not the same as being with the body. As we gather together. Today, the second G that I want us to talk about, last week was gather, this week it is about growing. And what does it mean to grow in Christ? What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? This past week, on Wednesday and Thursday, were the beginning days for Life Points CLC, our Creative Learning Center. Some of you may have heard of a Mother's Day Out. Well, our staff, we go over on those days and we're out front trying to encourage these little children as they're coming in. Woo, you're here. This is going to be a great start of the year. I love watching the kids come in. Little boys crack me up. You ever seen a little boy when he gets excited? He puts his head down and he starts running. I saw all kinds of little boys doing that. Just they got these backpacks on. They're weighting them down. Maybe it's because they're just trying to keep that backpack on. I don't know. But we were able to, they were running towards something that was so exciting to them. But there were also those little boys. They were running. They had their heads down running away from the door. They were crying. "No, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this." And we're like, "What do I do? Do I go pick this kid up? What do I do?" You know, we're trying to encourage. And it kind of reminded me of what Sunday morning looks like sometimes. You know, you see folks who are like coming to church, they're coming to the body, and they are pumped, they're excited. You can see the pep in their step. You can see people excited. Yes, I'm going to gather with the body. Life is happening. And then there are those folks that you see coming across the parking lot that's like, oh, I'm going to the dentist. If you're a dentist in here, I'm sorry about that, but it's like, oh, I'm here. Listen, for us as followers of Jesus Christ, if that's you and you're coming here like this, my hope today is this, is that if you're coming and you're fired up, I want to throw gas on that fire about what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ and how we continue to grow, and our growth affects others. If you're the one coming and it's like, I don't know why I'm here. I'm just doing this for them. I'm just kind of dragging along. My hope is that today you catch a new vision of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, take your Bibles, if you will, and open up to the book of Mark. Mark, we're going to look at several passages today. I'm going to try to move through here quickly for you, but I also want us to take some time here. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, 16, 17, and 18. You see, in the United States, I think oftentimes when we think about what does it mean to be a disciple coming to Christ, we think, you know, you see, I'm going to get the T-shirt, I'm going to get a cross, maybe I'll put a ichthus, a fish on the back of my car. If I'm really committed, I'm going to get a cross tattoo right here so that everybody's going to see, yay, go Jesus. But listen, I think if we're really going to catch what being a disciple means, let's go back to the word. Let's see what Jesus said about being a disciple. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, 17, and 18, he says this, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me. I want you to catch that. Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. In the New Testament, coming to Jesus Christ means you follow him, and then he will make you become. He's not going to leave you where you are. If you're a true disciple of his, he's not going to leave you where you are, because he's going to make you into what he desires you to be. A disciple, one who is a fisher of men, one whose life has been transformed. You see, when Jesus comes to take up residence in our life, he doesn't come to rearrange the furniture. He comes to like tear the house down and rebuild it. You're completely different. Now, let me ask you this. You've probably, if you've been in church for a while, some of you, this may be a brand new passage that you've heard. But maybe you've thought, wait a minute, these men dropped their nets and they left. They left their work. They left everything they knew. And like dad, he like just said, did he not try to stop them? What's going on? Well, quickly, I want to give you a little run through about what discipleship looked like in those days. In those days, in fact, it's still true in the Jewish world today, and the American system is kind of modeled on the Jewish system. At the age of 5, a little Jewish boy would start going to school, and from 5 to about 10 years old, kind of roughly like our elementary age, they would learn the Torah. The first 5 books of the Bible, all their education surrounded that. But they spent their time, they spent their days reading the Scripture, learning the Scripture, meditating on the Scripture, memorizing the Scripture. They would write it. They would talk about it. And then the things that come out of the Scripture, if you know anything about the first 5 books of the Bible, it is about the way of life for a Jewish person. And so they spent all of this time. It's like they were putting pegs in a pegboard, if you will. They didn't know how it all worked. They're just, I'm learning, I'm taking in, I'm taking all this in. The second step of their education system kind of might reflect like ours, the middle school. When I was growing up, it was called junior high school. But they would, in that next section, beginning at 10 years old, when they go into that second section, they then begin to learn what they would call the oral tradition. Like, okay, I've learned these things, or I'm still learning these things. How does this work? And somebody would teach them, here's how this works. This is what this means. It's kind of the logic behind it. This is what this is. This is how this works. And usually it was called a rabbi, a master teacher, who would do the teaching of that time. In the third section, what we might call high school, they would call it midrash, bet midrash. Not bet midler, bet midrash. And so they would go and they would be assigned a rabbi, a master teacher. And that master teacher, they would then begin to watch. How does that person walk? How do they talk? How do they live? How do they take all of these things, all that they've memorized, meditated on, poured into, all that they've talked about, the oral tradition. Now then they're seeing someone, a rabbi, a master teacher who's going to live it out. And they begin to imitate doing what he did, talking the way he did, doing all that he everything that he did out of the Torah, I want to follow. They became disciples. Somewhere in that 14 to 18 year range, if the rabbi looked at them and thought that they had potential, if you know what I mean, if they had potential, he would invite them. You know what he would say to them? Come, follow me. And those boys would begin to follow him. There was an old saying in the Jewish tradition that may the dust of your rabbi settle on you. That they would be walking behind them, not side by side, walking behind them so they could see, this is how the rabbi, this is how my master teacher does things. This is what he says over here. This is how he handles this situation. This is where he goes. This is how he walks. They would literally leave their home, and they may go home and sleep there, but they would leave their home. And they would do whatever he did. How he held his fork, they would hold their fork. What he ate, he ate. The way that his voice sounded, they would try to imitate that voice. Everything that the rabbi did, they would do. Those boys that didn't make the cut, you know where they went? They went back home to dad. And they learned the family business. This is where Andrew and Simon and Peter and James and John were working. And for the next 16 years, until the age of 30, 14 to 30, these rabbis are pouring into these kids who become young men who at the age of 30, now then they could be graduated to being a full rabbi themselves, a master teacher. And do you know what you do at the age of 30 when you become a rabbi? You call your own disciples to learn from you. To pass along. This is where this passage is. Jesus is walking along the beach and he sees some guys who didn't make the cut. I want you to hear this. As a follower of Jesus Christ today, I would not be one who would have made the cut back then. I'm thankful to the Lord. There wasn't anything about me. I started at a bad situation, but the Lord called me and said, come, follow me. Today, he's calling some of you to come and follow him for the very first time. That's what he's doing. That's why you're here. You thought you were here to meet somebody, see something. Hey, I saw a video, something. I need you to hear me. He's called you here to say, come, follow me. And so you know what they did? Their daddy, Simon and Andrew's dad, who owned the business, he knew that language. When he heard them say, come, follow me, Jesus said, come, follow me. He's like, someone has seen something in my boys. Go. Go. Parents, let me ask you a question. Are you encouraging your kids? Go. Go follow Jesus. Are you their biggest cheerleader? Are you their biggest cheerleader? This is what we begin to see here. And this is, if we want to be fully formed, fully devoted, fully functioning, growing disciples, we have to be learning and growing. Today, there's three quick phrases I want to give you of what it means to be a growing disciple. So this is our roadmap. If you're new here, I always encourage people to write things down so that you can remember and go back and look. Don't just take what I say as face value. Go back and search the scriptures. I want you to see it. So here's the roadmap. Here's the roadmap. Finding life, real life today, we have to be growing by learning. We grow by learning. Number two, we grow by living out the word. And number three, we grow by leaving. Learning, living, and leaving. Learning, living, and leaving. So with that, turn back over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is speaking, and here's what he said. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is speaking, and he says, take my yoke Now, if you're reading that passage in its context, this is about a yoke is something that goes on oxen. It ties two oxen together. It's what holds them there. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. Yoke in this passage means my teaching. Me, the master rabbi, the teacher, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Folks, I need you to know, if you are today wondering what Jesus is all about, this is it. He is gentle. He is lowly. He says, come to me if you are weary. Take my teaching and follow me. Learn from me. See, Jesus himself says, come learn from me. Zion, just a minute ago, read from Matthew chapter 28, 18, 19, and 20. It's called the Great Commission, in case you did not know. It's where Jesus commissions his disciples to go and spread the gospel. And in there, this is what he says. He says that we're to go and make disciples, to baptize them, just as we saw Adam today. We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not Jesus alone. And we baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he says, teaching them to observe. Some of your translations say to obey. Teaching them to observe and to obey. You cannot grow as a disciple if you do not know. You with me here? You can't grow if you don't know. What is it that we're to know? The teaching of Jesus. We have to know the Word of God. If we want to grow to be like Him, then we have to begin to do like the very first stages of the young children. We begin to study. We begin to meditate. We begin to memorize. We begin to talk about it. We're in a gathering like this. This is part of growth. This is part of learning. When we break into smaller groups of people where we begin to talk about the Scripture and we begin to read the Scripture, in your time alone with the Lord in the morning when you write down His passages. Sometimes I hear people say, you know, my mind is just not what it used to be. I'm not able to memorize. Now, we memorize a lot of things, but sometimes it's difficult to memorize the Scripture. I want you to know that that's also the enemy who wants to come at you. But if you begin to read and meditate and listen, you know what begins to happen? Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. As you begin to meditate and listen and you begin to talk about, you begin to write all of these things. Take your focus off of memorizing. We need to memorize Scripture. But if we begin to read and write and meditate and listen, you know what begins to happen? That Word of God begins to get deep into our heart. We begin to grow as disciples. And the more that we know, the more that we're able then to grow, to look more like Him. Today, we know all kinds of things. Somebody asked me the other day, what are you an expert in? I didn't want to tell him because I'm an expert in a lot of different things. You know, I study a lot of different things. Some of those things I'm going, ooh, I'm wasting my time on this. Whether it's, you know, some of you are experts in video games. I need you to hear me. There's nothing wrong with being, I didn't realize that there was actually like people who get paid to play video games. Hey, congratulations. Some of you are experts in video games. Some of you are experts in movies. Some of you are experts in law, real estate, manufacturing, leadership, management. You are an expert. The reason you're an expert is because you've spent time and you know all of the things that it takes for you to become an expert in there. Do you know, as a disciple of Christ, we have to take time. I need you to know, we're not ever going to be an expert at the Word of God, but we've got to know, because if we don't know the Word of God, we have struggles living out the Word of God. If we don't know what God's Word said, and then we get ourselves into a situation, if we're not careful, we're like the book of James. When James, it says, you're driven and tossed about like the wave on the ocean. Well, this sounds good. Well, this sounds good. Oh, well, that sounds good. No. What sounds good is what a disciple's rabbi, master teacher, Jesus, what he says. That is what's good for us. And if we're going to grow, then we have to be planting God's word. We have to be learning God's word. We have to be memorizing, meditating, reading, talking about God's word. This is what he's called us to. He's called us to learn and to know his word. Let me ask you something today. How much of God's word do you know? How much of God's word do you know? Can I tell you how much you know? All of it that you live. Not least the second thing. We grow, not just by learning, we grow by living. We grow by living. Turn over to the book of 1 John. 1 John is at the end of the New Testament. It's right after 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2nd, 3rd John. Not John 1, the gospel, we go to 1 John. Part of learning for some of you may be, I need to begin to learn where the books of the Bible are. Okay? If you don't know right now, open up to the table of contents. That's why they put it there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, says this, whoever says that he abides, the disciple that says he lives and abides in him, that's Jesus. So the disciple who says that he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Now, listen, I want to say this. Walk many times means walk. Jesus walked from town to town, the scripture says. He walked from Jerusalem to the region of the Galilee. He walked from this place to that place. But it also means sometimes that it's a manner of lifestyle that we walk as we walk, as he walked. We talk like he talked. We live like he lived. You've heard, man, you better walk the walk. That's not meaning a strut. That means like a lifestyle. We who say we are disciples, those of us who have submitted our lives to Christ, those of us who are in Jesus Christ because of Christ's sacrifice, then we ought to walk as he walked. We should be living as he lives. These young Jewish disciples who would memorize, meditate, put it in, listen to it, talk about it, who then would hear their rabbi teach and talk, who would then, they would get some more understanding, maybe like your commentaries. Maybe you're a John Piperite. Maybe you're an R.C. Sproul person. Maybe you're a John MacArthur. Maybe you are, I don't know, Tony Evans. Maybe you listen to these people. That's what happened in the second section. But you know what a real disciple does? A real disciple does this. A real disciple walks alongside someone to see, how does all this live out? How does this work? How do they talk to their wife? How do they talk to their husband? How do they handle their kids? How do they handle their money? I don't understand something. I need to talk to someone. You see, a disciple, Titus 2 says, Titus chapter 2, that's a New Testament book. In Titus 2, it says that older women pour into the younger women, that older men pour into the younger men. That doesn't necessarily mean chronological age. That means those who are mature in Christ. They're turning and they're talking and they're walking. Their lives are an open book for someone to be able to understand. This is how all of the Bible learning works. This is how we live it out. Do you know how much of the Bible you know? How much of the Bible you believe is how much of the Bible you live. Some of you may be thinking, man, there's a lot of tough stuff in there. I don't know if I could live all that out. You can, or it wouldn't be put there. That would mean that we need someone who can help us know how to live it out. We'd have to have people who can walk in our lives. We have to have people at its very base that we could look at and imitate their lifestyle. You know, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Discipleship is about looking at someone, how they live the word of God, how they live the truths of the gospel, how they take what it is that they've learned. This is not just Bible trivia. We don't want Bible answer man and Bible answer woman. We're not looking for Bible man. We're looking for disciples who go, okay, I've taken all this in and I begin to live this out. And thanks be to God, we don't have to do it perfectly. Because Jesus is the only one who lived it perfectly. Thanks be to God that Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. That means when I fail, when I fall at living like a disciple, I can get up. Usually it's another disciple who walks in my life and says, hey, I don't know if you recognize this. Have you seen this? And then I can go and say, Father, forgive me. And I come back to him. Somebody who has been walking in my life, someone that I've been looking towards. Those of you in here who have followed Christ for a long time, you realize you're not exempt from still being discipled. Who in your life, follower of Christ, do you look to? Not just from afar, like you're just a voyeur. I'm talking about who do you look to up close and say, I need to know how to do this. Do you have someone in your life that you're saying, I want to imitate how they do that? I don't want to like just parrot it, but I need to know how they work that out. How does that work? Let me ask you this, as a follower of Christ, because once we become disciples, we're always a disciple, and we should be discipling. Who's coming behind you that you're pouring your life into? In the first hour, we had high schoolers that were down in the family room who were being discipled. The doctrines of God are being poured into them. And what does that look like? Learning those and talking those out. Right now, we have middle schoolers who are down there who are in the a program we call Engage. And they've got small groups that are walking with them, people who are pouring into them. We have preschoolers and children's ministries that are happening right now where, as Adam is being discipled. Folks, we are always about discipling the next generation. We are about living the knowledge that God gives us. And I want to tell you, if you're worried about trying to learn more and more, the greatest opportunity for you to learn more is to put yourself in a place of leadership. You know, when I learn the most is when I have to turn around and teach it and talk about it with someone else. You continue to grow. You put yourself in a difficult situation where you have to then live it out. As a young middle schooler, high schooler, elementary age kid, I got into a habit of quitting things that were hard. If something didn't come easy for me, ripcord, I'm out. I'm parachuting out of this. I don't even want to get into it. It wasn't until I got to college that I began to realize, you know where real growth happens? Listen, the tension between the rubber and the road is what gets the car going. Amy and I rubbing up against each other in tension situations when we get angry with each other. That's hard to believe that she would get angry at me, I know. But when things aren't like this, that tension, that difficult situation, you know what ends up happening? It brings growth to our marriage. When we begin to read difficult things in the scripture and we begin to go, I don't know how this is going to work. I need someone. Who can I talk to that I can say, how do you do this? And then they help me walk through that. That's what discipling is. This is what disciples do. This is how we grow in discipleship. Who do you have in your life that you say, I want to imitate them. I want to walk like they walk. I want to talk like they talk. I want to know what that looks like. Who is it that you're bringing along with you in the gospel? You see, the gospel is not just meant so that we can learn. It's meant so that we can then live it out. So we grow by learning. We grow by living. Number three, we grow by leaving. Look at Luke chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look at Luke 14:26. Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I want to clear something up real quickly here, okay? He's not talking about hate like I'd literally hate you, because the scripture tells us that if we don't take care of our own family, we don't love our family enough to take care of them, we're worse than the infidels. What he's saying here, that word hate means to love less. Love less. Love less how? Love, I love, I love you folks. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love these new grandbabies. Oh my gosh, my mom, I love her, but I don't love them, any of them, like I love Jesus. He is first. He is first. We've had to have conversations like that in our house, that what Jesus wants us to do, that's what we're going to do. We love Jesus first. And in those situations, go back to the Jewish system. When a rabbi would say, come and follow me, they left everything. Andrew and Simon left their jobs. Could you imagine doing that? He comes to you and he says, come follow me. And you like, okay, I'm gonna lay my pen down. I got to go. This is what they did. Many people today are worried about, if he called me, I mean, am I going to go to another country? Maybe. Probably, though, he wants you to go across the yard. Okay? It's probably what he wants you to do first. Many of you are going, man, if he calls me, do I have to empty my bank account? Nobody may want you to take out your wallet immediately and help somebody. He may be asking you, listen, the discipleship, learning to leave, is about learning to leave everything on the altar and not going back to pick it up. You know what happens most often? When we get baptized, you know, most of the time, the last thing to get baptized is our wallet. We do this. I'm going to keep that out of the water. Listen, we lay everything on the altar. My time, my talent, my abilities, where I live, my family. Being a disciple is about leaving everything behind to follow him. Some of you today, you're worried about leaving. And I want to talk to you disciples, those of you who are a part of Riverdale today, and you're a disciple. You're following Jesus. I even want to talk to you about if you're in a small group right now. You know what God may be calling some of you to do? Leave your small group so that you can disciple other people. And you're so scared to do that. But if you look around your small group and they're leading, some of you leaders need to go lead. Because we have people all across this church who need to be discipled. Do you realize this church is probably one generation from shutting its doors? There are thousands of churches every year that close their doors because they did not disciple the next generation of people to walk with Jesus. Do you realize that your family, you may be the person, the woman, the man, that if you're not pouring into your children? I had a conversation, he's not in here this hour, so I can say this. When my son was about to have our first grandchild, I told him, I said, Evan, you realize that you and I are the only thing standing behind this going right here, knowing Jesus Christ and carrying on our name for Christ. That wasn't meant for pressure. You know what that was meant for? Let's wake up. We've been called to be disciples, to learn his word, to live his word, to leave everything on the altar. I look around here, and man, we've got children and students everywhere. I'm so thankful. We're pouring into the next generation. But adults in this room, we need you to be discipling the disciples. So what does that mean? So what, Kyle? You tell me all this stuff. So what? What'd I do with it? Well, before I get there, I need you to know, you realize that Jesus himself left his home to come here so that you and I might be in a relationship with him. So when we talk about leaving, our Lord and Savior did that. He didn't count equality with God something to be grasped, Philippians says, but he opened it. He took on flesh and blood to come and live here. And he lived it out. He's the only one that lived it out perfectly so that you and I might have a sacrifice that was worthy, so that you and I might come under him. In fact, he said in John 6, he said, listen, I've not lost anything that you've given me. John 17, he says, I've accomplished what you sent me to do, Lord. He lived it out. So what we're calling ourselves, me, you, what we're calling ourselves to is exactly the example that Jesus called us to. And for some of you in here today, that means you need to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You've never surrendered your life to him. All of this sounds good. Yeah, I get where you're going, but you don't know Jesus. You've never submitted your life to him. We want to walk with you. In a few minutes, we're going to have deacons down front. I'm going to be down front. I'd love to talk with you. Some of you are going, I can't get out. I don't know if I want to come down front. See me afterwards. I'll be out in the foyer. I want to talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus, a Savior, so that you can become a disciple of his. The next step for some of you is you need to join this church. You need to go to First Step. You need to unite with this body. You need to become a part of this body. Plant your life here as a disciple of Christ and help us to disciple the next generation, to disciple our friends. That would even be another thing for some of you to do. Some of you, you've been here, but you're not in a small group. You're not in a life group. You're not in a D group. If you're unconnected around here, the middle of September, I want to say it's the 17th, on a Sunday night, we're starting a whole new ministry. It's called Rooted. It's about what does it mean to be in the basics of the faith? And some of you go, the basics of the faith? Man, I've been doing that for years. I know all that. Listen, I want you to know, I've been married for a long time, but when Amy and I have trouble, we have to go back to the basics. You know why? Because I don't talk the same way I did when we first dated. I don't do the same things. I get off base. Maybe you're like that also. And we have to go back to the basics and recenter ourselves on the things that brought us to our love of one another. It may be a place where you need to come together and rooted so that you can recenter, turn back to your first love. As you leave out, Howard's going to be out there. You can find all of these things on the app. I want you to register. Go see Howard. We have childcare that night. We're going to have childcare, so you plan to be a part of that. Here's the last thing, and I want to speak to you as a parent. Parents, if discipleship's not important to you, it won't be important to your kids. On Sunday mornings at 8:10, we have basic training for your high schoolers. At 9:30, we have Engage, a discipling environment for your middle schoolers. On Wednesday night, we have student ministry. There were close to 60 students here on Wednesday night. There's about 20 different leaders pouring in to these students to disciple them. On all of these occasions that I'm talking about, down the hallway right now, all 3 hours on Wednesday night, we have preschool ministry, we have kids ministry. Those aren't childcare. That's discipling opportunities. And I'm asking you, would you make it a priority so your kids make it a priority? You may be going, oh, what am I going to do, force them? But listen, they don't want to brush their teeth when they're young and you make them. We're talking about discipleship. Some of you are going right now, boy, he gets a little fired up. Welcome to Life Point Riverdale, okay? This is what the Lord has brought to us. And we need to be responsible with what it is that he's given us. You're with me right now, Father. So thankful for this body. I'm thankful for what it is that you've given us, and may we steward it well. Father, I'm thankful for the disciples that are here who love you. And Father, whether they are running eagerly or they're kind of moping in, Father, here's what I know. You have saved them. You've changed them. And Father, I'm asking that right now you would create and ignite a joy in them. Father, that as they learn more and as they begin to live it, they begin to see, yes, this is the good, tasty life. This is living water. This is living bread. This is sweeter than honey. Lord, would you give that to them today? And Father, I ask that you would save people today. Father, please save those who do not know you. Call them to life, and it's in the name of Jesus. I ask these things today.